Thank you for joining us today for the podcast ministry of Unity Point Church. We're located at 124 Amerson Street in Anniston, Alabama. We hope that you'll join us very soon and be a part of our fellowship. We'd love to have you. Our three core values are Christ, community, and connections, and we try to find all three every time we come together. We believe that you're going to be both blessed and challenged by the message today, so let's dive right in. I want you to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 is what we're going to be looking at today. Actually going to start, we may actually start from here and work our way through. It's kind of odd starting with chapter 3, but it's just what I felt like we were supposed to do. So, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, when you get there, say amen.
Amen.
There you go. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We're going to look at verses 4 through 11. Verses 4 through 11. Next week we'll pick up with verse 12. Man, I wanted to do all of that today, but it's too much. It's like one of those 64-ounce porterhouses. Y'all can't eat that much. Can't do it. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 4 through 11. This is what it says. I'm reading out of the HCSB translation. We have this kind of confidence toward God through Christ. It is not that we are competent in ourselves to consider anything as coming from ourselves, but our competence is from God. He has made us competent to be ministers of a new covenant, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit produces life. Now, if the ministry of death, chiseled in letters on stones, came with glory, so that the Israelites were not able to look directly at Moses' face because of the glory from his face, a fading glory, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? For if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness overflows with even more glory. In fact, what had been glorious is not glorious now by comparison because of the glory that surpasses it. For if what was fading away was glorious, what endures will be even more glorious. A little bit of backstory here when there's a reference in the beginning of part of this to Exodus. It's actually around verse 7. Just want to kind of give you that before I dive into some of the other. When Moses came off the mount, right, and he had the commandments, and he had met with God, and the Bible says that because he had been in the presence of God, that his face glowed. And so he ended up putting a veil, if you will, over his face because the people were afraid. This is not what I'm preaching about today, but it's astounding how that when people have been around dry, dead religion, they get afraid when the glory of God shows up. It's astounding how that when people have just, well, hey, I'm just supposed to go and I'm just supposed to sit and it's supposed to be real, real calm and it's supposed to be real quiet. And there may be times where that's exactly how you experience God. And I experienced some of that yesterday. I got up yesterday morning, went sat beside the pond, and I was sitting there and I was reading this again. And man, I just finally at one point, and I love to listen to music, and I just finally turned it off and I was listening to God's orchestra there. There were frogs and crickets, and everything was still, and the wind was blowing through the trees. And that may be those moments of how you experience God. We see that in the Bible, right? He at one point, he wasn't in a fire and he wasn't in the earthquake and all that, but it was in a still small voice. There are other times where, quite honestly, you know, what I need personally in that moment is I need the majesty and the grandeur of God to come against the very forces of hell that are attacking my life. And I don't need a still small voice in that moment. I need God to show up as the warrior king. Amen. And he does. And when I think about people that are, you know, I know it's summertime, but, you know, and I enjoy watching football probably as much as anybody does. But But, you know, I can get excited about that stuff. It's exciting to me. The human struggle is exciting. I enjoy it. It's amazing. It's something to experience. But, boy, when I watch as people come by this morning and they hold up and say, this is what I was, this is who God has made me, man, that's the kind of excitement that we ought to get. That's the experience of God that we ought to have in those moments in understanding that those are the examples. People say, well, I don't know about seeing miracles anymore. Look around. Look around at one another and see the miracles that God has done. That's what people were sharing really with you today. People were sharing and saying, here's what I was and here's the miracle that God has done in my life. God has done this thing. He has, and quite honestly, the most powerful thing that God has done is He has taken that which is dead and brought it back to life. The Bible says we were dead in our trespasses and sins, but now we've been made alive in Christ. You were dead. If you don't know Jesus, you're still dead. I'm not talking about you did some knee bumper prayer way back when, you know, and your life never changed and all. I'm talking about to know Him. To know Him. For Him to change your life, because I'm telling you, the God of the universe, you can't know Him and Him not change your life. Amen. We're not talking about you just getting to know me or getting to know somebody else that, hey, you know, you may enjoy their presence. You may enjoy being around them or whatever. But when you get in the presence of God, that the Bible says in His right hand there are pleasures evermore. There's peace. There's all these things. When you know Him, He changes you. You'll never be the same. He takes things that the world would cast off to the side of the road. Like the, and you know, we've gotten so much into this shabby chic thing and all that, and I like it too. I mean, you know, I like the house to look nice and have little decoration stuff and all. But you know what we do? We take stuff that's not old and we beat it up to make it look like it's old. You realize that? And then we take stuff that is old and we fix it up, you know? Cool. That's awesome. That's not what God's doing in your life. God is not, I almost want to get past when people say, well, you know, you just bring all the pieces. Not, yeah, that is true. God wants you to bring all the broken mess that's in your life. But here's the amazing thing. The Bible says that the old man is passed away. Behold, all things are made new. God doesn't just take and try to do an improved version of what you used to be. Because many of us would look and go, what I used to be was a messed up, jacked up, did stuff wrong, willingly did it. And you know, I don't know that I want to be a better version of that. Awesome, because that's not what God's calling you to. God is calling you to lay that person down, to die to that person, and He's going to make you a new creation in Christ. Moses comes out of the presence of God and he's got this glory shining on him, and the people were afraid. They were bothered by it. Instead of going, wow, that is amazing, they were scared of it, and so he had to put a veil over his face. How terrible, honestly, that if people have been in the presence of God, that others would want them to, hey, would you please kind of cover that up and don't let that be so evident, because it bothers me. Paul, in writing to the church at Corinth, he tells them, he says, what's coming from us is not about us, it's coming from God. And God is the one who's made us competent to be ministers, and not of the letter, but of the Spirit. That was the important part of this leading into this passage that we're going to talk about here, because he says, because the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. The letter has been used to kill many a person in the faith community. But the Spirit wants to bring life. I hear people who, I've heard it my whole life. I've heard people say, and I can imagine, I'm not going to speak for him, but knowing that Pastor Robert has spent so much time with ministering to people with addiction, there's a lot of folks in the faith community that will say, well, I know they say they had an experience with God. Give it 6 months and we'll see. Right? It's kind of like we're going to kick them out to pasture by themselves, and we'll look to see. Instead of saying, thanks be unto God that they are trying to make a change in their life, I'm going to come alongside them. I'm going to do what the Bible says, which is bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. I'm going to come alongside and say, hey, brother, I'm going to help you along. Sometimes it may be that you've got your arm around my shoulder and I've got my arm around your shoulder and you're leaning on me. Other times, if I got to drag you, I'm going to drag you. You go, well, I don't know if that's spiritual. I don't know if that's scriptural. Well, you need to read Jude, because he said, snatch some as a brand from the fire. Right. Talks about hating the garment that's defiled, but being still snatch them. Yeah. A brand is something that's already on fire. He said, snatch them out. The letter kills, but the spirit produces life. And then we get into the bulk of the message today, verses 7 through 11. And he gives three things here, and there's a method that he is using, and it's actually a rabbinic method of exegesis. So it's like the rabbis would do. It's a rabbinic method. And what it is this method of exegesis, of explaining something, is he'll go from lesser to greater, lesser to greater, lesser to greater. Okay? And there's three things that he does a comparison of lesser to greater on that we're just going to touch on. The first one is, he says the ministry of the, and I'm doing these in reverse because he actually does them from the lesser to the greater, but I'm giving you from the greater to the lesser here in just this moment. He talks about the ministry of the Spirit is greater than the ministry of death. That's number one. Number two, he says the ministry of righteousness is greater than the ministry of condemnation. And the third one then, he says the ministry of the permanent is greater than the ministry of that which is fading away. Verses 7 and 8 talk about the ministry of the Spirit. We're going to reread that. Now, if the ministry of death, chiseled in letters on stones, all right, I just gave you a hint. Does anybody know what that was? It was the Ten Commandments. He says, so if the ministry of death, chiseled in letters on stones, came with glory, so that the Israelites were not able to look directly at Moses' face because of the glory from his face, a fading glory. How will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Here's the thing about the ministry of death. It's chiseled in letters on stones. The law cannot, by any of us, the law cannot be perfectly kept. Just cannot be perfectly kept. So ultimately what happens is, the law will proclaim a death sentence on you. The law will proclaim, you are not keeping me in perfect adherence, and therefore, because of that sin, because of that unholiness, therefore, the sentence is death. That's why he describes this, the Ten Commandments, as the ministry of death, because the fact that none of us can keep it perfectly means that no matter how hard we try, no matter how hard we try to work at it in ourselves, the ultimate proclamation out of the law is death. But the ministry of the Spirit is something different. Why would he contrast the ministry of death, which is the law that we cannot keep, and then say, well, the ministry of the Spirit, well, that is going to be more glorious? The reason is because the ministry of the Spirit enables us to walk in a way that the law gets fulfilled. I'm going to take you to Scripture, because nobody said, woo, amen. You should have. You said, well, I didn't know if I was supposed to. Stay locked in. If I say something like, you're not going to be able to fulfill the law in yourself, and that's the ministry of death, but the Spirit is going to enable you to walk in such a way that the law is considered fulfilled, then you're supposed to go.
Amen.
Woo! Yeah, that was good. That was good. Ezekiel, I'm going to go Old Testament, and then I'm going to give you some New Testament. Just because some people get hung up, well, that was in the Old Testament. As if somehow the Bible doesn't say that was laying the groundwork for you, points you toward Christ, and then we get in the New Testament, it shows you the revelation of what he told you back in the, anyway. Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 27. Actually, I'm going to give you verse 26 as well. Actually, I'm going to give you from verse 24. Actually, I want to read the whole thing, but I'm not going to do it. He's talking to the people of Israel, and this is where people get hung up. They go, well, that's the people of Israel. That's why I'm going to take you to the New Testament and show you that then we, the Bible talks about that then we can become those true Israelites. It was just chosen people. Israel was his chosen people, but then he expanded that and said, now you can be grafted into the family. So you don't have to get all hung up. There's some things that you can identify clearly. They are stated and promised more in a way that's direct to the actual people of Israel proper. But then there are things that are spiritual that apply not just to the Israelites then, but to those who have been grafted into his family that then become true Israelites and followers of Christ. Verse 24 says, for I will take you from the nations and gather you from all the countries and will bring you into your own land. I will also sprinkle clean water on you and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from all your impurities and all your idols. Woo! I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. That's a little S spirit. I'll put a new spirit. In other words, I'll make you start acting different. Little S spirit. Little S. I'll put a new spirit within you. People go, I was just made that way. You're right. Come to Jesus. He wants to make you new. Amen. He wants to change you. Well, that's just my personality. Now, I understand. Now, God doesn't just take and brainwash you out of the process, but God will shape you and fashion you to be more like Jesus. He'll put a new spirit, little s, within you. I will remove your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And here's verse 27. I will place my spirit, big S, within you and cause you to follow my statutes and carefully observe my ordinances. So the ministry of death, that told you that, hey, here's the law, do your best to follow it. Here's the law, follow it. Here's the law, you're not following it. Here's the law, you're going to die because you're not following it. Here's the law, spiritually, you're going to deserve to die. Here's the law, you're not following it. I mean, every moment, everything that you were doing, if you, here's the law. But the ministry of the Spirit says, I will put my spirit in you and cause you to be able to follow things. There you go, get your credit score. I like it. You need to do a spiritual checkup. Go ask God. I'll take that. I can work with that. I can work with that, Pastor Robert. Yeah. Hit the button and go check your spiritual life and say, God, what's my score? What's the score in my life? Do I have your spirit in me that's saying, hey, I'm on the winning side, I'm on the plus side? Sometimes we spend more time checking credit scores and sports scores and everything else. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
People get emails sent to them. You just had a change in your credit score. I get them. I have a thing set up with Experian. It'll send because I'm trying to protect my credit score. See, the Holy Spirit just use that kind of stuff, right? Right? Yeah, you know. But hey, if we're sitting here talking about the ministry of the Spirit, then the Spirit wants to check you up and say, hey, that right there, you kind of was messing that up. But I put my spirit in you and he's going to challenge you and he's going to draw you and get you to walk according to the path that you ought to.
Amen.
Romans 8, verses 3 and 4. What the law could not do since it was limited by the flesh, God did. That'll preach right there. What the law could not do since it was limited by the flesh, God did. What the law couldn't do was it couldn't make you perfect. What the law couldn't do was it couldn't fulfill itself. And since it couldn't, perfect you, and since it couldn't make you holy so that you could be in relationship with God, God did it. He condemned sin in the flesh by sending his own son in the flesh like ours under sin's domain and as a sin offering in order that the law's requirements would be accomplished in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The ministry of the Spirit is such that God has put his Spirit in you. And here's the thing. I remember when I was going through ministerial training, one of the things always stuck in my head. The Holy Spirit is the agent of salvation, because he draws us to receive Christ, but then Christ was the agent for you receiving the Holy Spirit. Because then Christ said, I've got to go away so that another comforter could come. And when he comes, he won't speak of himself. He's just going to speak of what he's seen and heard. Yeah. So the Holy Spirit is the one who prompts your heart to receive Jesus, and then Jesus turns around and by becoming your Lord and Savior opens the door for you to receive the indwelling of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
He said here in verse 4, he said that the reason that Jesus came and came as a sin offering, it was in order that the law's requirements would be accomplished in us. Catch that. The law's requirements are being accomplished in us. Not for us. In us. You go, wait a minute. I thought you just said earlier that I can't fulfill the requirements of the law. You're right. We, on our own, cannot fulfill the requirements of the law. This passage says that what the law couldn't do, God did. Because he sent Jesus to be that sin offering so that the law's requirements would be accomplished in us. But here's the qualifier. If we don't walk according to the flesh, but we walk according to the Spirit. For those who live according to the flesh think about the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, about the things of the Spirit. Here's a checkup for you. You can do a checkup from the neck up. What are you thinking about? If you're always thinking about the stuff of the flesh, you're probably not really walking that led by the Spirit. I'm just being honest with us. Just being honest with us. If your mind is always set on these earthly things, and this is hard, right? It is hard because tomorrow the job's going to come at you, the bills are going to come at you, all that stuff. It's so easy to be focused on thinking about the things of the flesh. But he says, you can't do that. You can't be walking according to that. I think sometimes we just think when it talks about walking according to the flesh, that we just think that's all about being sinful. But when he talks about what you're thinking about, I think it moves beyond that. Those who live according to the flesh think about the things of the flesh. Well, it's just saying that, well, you're thinking about sinful stuff. It's saying that you're always focused on the things that are the natural. And you're not thinking about that which is supernatural. It's kind of like me sitting there yesterday, because I am. I want to turn on music, all this stuff, and I realize I'm getting distracted, and I'm sitting in the middle of God's creation here. Turn the music off, stop reading for a minute, and just sit here and listen. Experience the spiritual, not just the flesh. The second ministry that he talked about was, he said there was the ministry of righteousness. He says, for if the ministry of condemnation had glory, the ministry of righteousness overflows with even more glory. If the ministry of condemnation had glory. It's very closely tied to the first idea of ministry that he gave. Because again, it's about condemnation versus righteousness. I want to read Romans chapter 3 for you. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 through 26. But now, apart from the law, God's righteousness has been revealed, attested by the law and the prophets. That is, God's righteousness through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe, since there is no distinction. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. They are justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. God presented him as a propitiation through faith in his blood to demonstrate his righteousness. Because in his restraint, God passed over the sins previously committed. And God presented him to demonstrate his righteousness at the present time. So that he would be righteous and declare righteous the one who has faith in Jesus. I had to make myself a note here. There's two important words there. It said Jesus would be righteous. He would declare us righteous. Because the Bible says that my righteousness is as filthy rags. The best that I can do is still not holy. But here's the thing. We're not operating in my righteousness. It's where he says that we don't walk in after the flesh, but we walk according to the Spirit, that he's doing this stuff in us. And he says, hey, God presented him that propitiation for our sins so that he would be righteous and declare you and I righteous. Amen. He is able to do that because the Bible says that then we were crucified with Christ, nevertheless that we live. And why? What is that? It's us not being alive, but it's Christ living in us. Amen. So Christ is able to say, I am inhabiting this person, and he can look at God the Father and say, I am righteous. And because I inhabit this person, I am declaring them to be righteous. That was a great opportunity for you to just be like, woo! I'm way more excited today than what y'all are. He said he would be righteous and declare righteous the one who has faith in Jesus. Similar to that first comparison, we find the law condemns us because we don't have the ability to keep it. By the way, in Matthew 5, Jesus actually says, he makes a statement. He says that I did not come to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill the law. Remember when I said at the beginning, well, I should share this. So this ministry of righteousness allows us to understand righteousness, that we're in right standing with God in contrast to the law. And that can get a little concerning, right? That can get concerning because if we go, wait a minute, then if I can't keep this and if it's on my own ability to do right, then what we would find is we would find ourselves doing works out of fear and condemnation. Romans 8, 1 says, there is therefore now no condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus. That was the lead in to where we said that walk not according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. The ministry of condemnation said, you need to do, because if you don't, you'll go to hell. The ministry of righteousness says, you need to do, because praise God, you're not going to hell. There's a song, and I'm always careful where I play it. It's this guy. I can't even remember the guy's name. I have to see it when it happens. I always forget it, and I got a bunch of other folks turned on to him. I think it's like C.T. Townsend or something like that. He's this guy. They're up in this North Carolina, South Carolina area, and he does this song, and it's at a big youth event. I mean, it's huge. And they're singing like some old school hymns and stuff, and then they're doing some other stuff. And man, I mean, right there in the middle of this live thing, if I listen to it, man, me and the lawnmower, we won't cut a straight row then. Because, buddy, right in the middle of that, he has a little teenage girl comes up, and he says, tell the people what Jesus just did for you. And that little girl says, I just got saved. I'm like, woo! They have this song they do, this youth group. Going to hell. How about that one? Not one of y'all amen on that. I don't remember the rest of the words. I just remember that line because it's so exciting. And I was like, my goodness. And you know what though? That is really the difference between understanding a ministry of condemnation or a ministry of righteousness. Is being able to look and say, I'm going to serve God because he has set me free. He has brought me to life. I don't have to die and go to hell because of my sins. And therefore, I'm going to serve him because I love him for what he has done. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. Amen. Right? That's why we'd sing stuff like that. It's because we would recognize and see, I am no longer under the ministry of condemnation. I am under the ministry of righteousness. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. It's one of the, I use this often because it became a song, whether we made a song out of it. He made the one who did not know sin to be sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's what makes the ministry of righteousness so amazing. It is given entirely through the perfect and sinless life of Jesus Christ. It's not about me. It's not about how good I can be or not be. It doesn't give me a license. Paul had to address that. You know, what should we say then? Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. But what it does is it frees me from the I have to perform in order to earn. Because I can't earn. I can't earn. I can't do enough. I can't do it well enough. And then I would be doing it for the fact of that, well, I have done, and so therefore I should receive. And then if I don't do well enough, I don't receive well enough, right? But instead, he says, God is giving to us through Jesus Christ this righteousness. And now I can serve him out of love. I can serve him out of a grateful heart. I can serve him out of being thankful for what it is that he's done in my life. Not because I need to earn something. Not so that I won't go to hell. But I can serve him because that he has set me free. Amen. We had a lot of songs right in the past. He has set me free. He has set me free. I will rejoice because he has made me glad, right? I like to set me free thing. I will rejoice because he has made me glad. Once like a bird in prison I dwelled, no freedom from my sorrow I felt. He set me free, yes, he set me free. He broke the bonds of I'm glory bound, my. So glory to God. Oh, see. Finally, we get the last ministry that he talks about there, and he's going to go ahead. Naaman's going to put me on this next slide so that it was interesting because you know when I was trying to put this together it. On the statements of these ministries, he doesn't really call this last one so much a ministry. In verse 11, he says, "For if what was fading away was glorious, what endures will be even more glorious." Verse 10 says, "In fact, what had been glorious is not glorious now by comparison because the glory that surpasses it." Here's an amazing thing. It's kind of like if you were inside and it's really dark and somebody turned on, you know, a light. Let's say they lit a candle, right? In the darkness, that light looks huge, right? I mean, you can see that thing from a long ways away because it's just pitch black, it's dark, and that little point of light. But go take that out in the middle of the brightest sunny day that you've ever seen and you wouldn't even notice that candle because the sun would so overwhelm that light. And he says, this previous covenant, this previous ministry, that it was death, it was condemnation, it was fading away. It had glory because it was God's plan. It pointed us in a direction. But now what has come is like you walking out in the sun holding that candle. The sun has so overwhelmed. The brightness of the glory of Jesus Christ makes this previous thing look like it never even had any glory. He says, "For if what was fading away was glorious, what endures will be even more glorious." I ended up listening at a ministry of permanence. I think about it in the workplace. You hear people in a lot of these places, they'll say, "Well, hey, yeah, I'm just a temporary associate. I'm just a temporary employee." Oh, well, when will you go permanent? Because you know what we think about when it comes to you go permanent? Hey, you get benefits. You get benefits. You get insurance. You get 401k. You get all this other stuff. Because we think, hey, when it's temporary, I mean, hey, it's a job, right? It you get a paycheck. But most often you're working alongside somebody who gets paid more than you do and doing the same work. But if you could just be a permanent associate. He says, wow, you had this previous covenant, this previous ministry, and it was like being a temporary associate. You just didn't have all the benefits. A lot of times, even when you're the temporary associate, you don't even get to wear the company's name. You have to wear the name of the place that you work for, because you're not working for them. Not really. But when you become permanent, when you get adopted, when you get grafted in, you get to put on the uniform to be one of like all the other folks. He said, hey, this previous thing, it was fading away. But this thing with Jesus, it's permanent. It lasts forever. It endures. And it's even more glorious. Romans 10:4 says, for Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Now, he didn't say Christ is the end of the law. He said, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness. You don't have to be trying to be the one fulfilling the law in order to be righteous anymore. Jesus has already done that work. You just got to let him have full control. Let him guide your life. Let him direct your path. Let him move you in the right directions. Because when he moves in, then he applies his righteousness. He is righteous, and he declares you to be righteous. Galatians chapter 3. I'm going to read this in closing. Galatians chapter 3, verses 19 through 25. Why then was the law given? It was added because of transgressions until the seed to whom the promise was made would come. That seed was not us. It was Jesus. The law was put into effect through angels by means of a mediator. Now, a mediator is not for just one person, but God is one. Is the law therefore contrary to God's promises? Absolutely not. For if a law had been given that was able to give life, then righteousness would certainly be by the law. But the Scripture has imprisoned everything under sin's power, so that the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. Before this faith came, we were confined under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith was revealed. The law then was our guardian until Christ, so that we could be justified by faith. But since that faith has come, we are no longer under a guardian, for you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. We know that Scripture tells us. In fact, it goes on, you know, right after some of this, that this next passage is some of Brother Robert's favorite, because when he finally says that now we can have the Spirit of His Son comes into our hearts and we can cry, Abba, Father. The ministry of permanence. He whom the Son sets free is free indeed. Not kind of, sort of, not maybe. I don't know if it's like stopping right up here, but it's thick up here on my part, Pastor. It's thick up here. The ministry of permanence. Makes me think about when I'm so thankful for people that foster children, right? But it's still tough on children, right? It's because it's until adoption occurs, it's not permanent. It's kind of like the law. It's a temporary thing. But oh man, I'll be honest, that when these little things come up on social media and somebody, you know, they're doing a birthday thing or something like that, and all of a sudden, you know, that kid opens up that box and they start reading a piece of paper or something like that, and it says, do you want to be an Angels forever, right? Do you want to be a good one forever? and you see it. Oh, man, I love that stuff. You see it on that child's face. And sometimes they're older, they're young, whatever. You see it in that moment when it hits them. Somebody is choosing me.
Amen.
You may feel like you may have felt like if you've already received him, but if that's not and you haven't received him today, you may be sitting here and you may be feeling like, hey, I keep just in these things that aren't permanent. I get some joy out of my job maybe for a while. I get some joy out of something I bought. I get some joy out of something over here. But I never have anything permanent. I need you to open that box today. I need you to open that box that God's setting in front of you today where he's saying, hey, I want you to stop and read this. I want you to hear this, that I'm choosing you and I'm asking you, do you want to receive the ministry of permanence? Because I want you to be my child. I want you to receive what my son did for you, and you'll be joint heirs with my son, Jesus Christ. I want you to understand that I'm choosing you, that I'm going to have my son's perfect life that he willingly laid down, that he said, no man takes my life from me, that I'll lay it down and I got the power to take it back up again. He said, I do this for the joy that's set before me. I endure death, even death on a cross. I do it for the joy that's set before me. The Bible describes us as being his inheritance. We sing that song sometimes. He is our portion and we are his prize. Man, he's on that cross. He says, it is finished. Sometimes I think we just think that it's just him saying, all right, I'm giving up and dying. Now, he was saying to the Father, he was saying to the world, he was saying to all creation. That's why then as he gives up the ghost, then he says, it's finished, and the earth begins to shake, and the veil was rent from the top to the bottom because God made a way from heaven reaching down to man, to mankind. It was rent from the top to the bottom. He says, it is finished. It wasn't, I'm just about to die. It is the work that you sent me for, the thing you sent me to do, the righteousness you sent me to gain for all of mankind. If they will simply come, it is finished. I have done it. And now I'm going to end up beginning to receive my prize. I'm their portion. I'm their payment. But they are my prize. Amen. Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. Two things that I'm asking you today. One is, if you don't know Jesus Christ, you need to know him today. He is calling you through these ministries. He is calling you to receive what it is that he has done, to move out of a ministry of death into a ministry of the Spirit, to move out of condemnation to righteousness, to move out of that which is temporary and fleeting, to that which is permanent and lasting. That's the first one. The second one is, if you are sitting here and you're not truly just enjoying the reality of those three ministries, you still over here just feeling like I'm not good enough, I'm all this. Well, hey, let's just go ahead and get past that. We're all not good enough. And thanks be unto God, it never has been about our good enough. It's always been about his good enough. And he wasn't good enough. He was perfect. And he wants to move you to that ministry of the Spirit where he says, I'll put my Spirit in you and cause you. I love that out of Ezekiel. And I will cause you to be able to follow my statutes. My Spirit in you. All the way back in the Old Testament, he was telling what was going to happen. I'm going to put this thing in you. So then when we read over into Acts and we see stuff where he says that when the when the Holy Spirit comes on you, that you'll be endued with power. And one of the things he says, and you'll be my witnesses. You know what he's saying? He says, I'm going to give you the power to be able to reflect my son, Jesus Christ, to be a witness. You're going to show, hey, I once was this. Who's got one? Let me have your paper, Debbie. There's a lot of people that could hold that up. So that's what your life was. Maybe it's what your life is. Because you hadn't found your way there. I'm going to pray for you. And I'm going to ask you today, hey, I mean, we've got prayer. I'm going to ask you today, if there's anything that you need prayer for, you're not coming up, you know, just because, I mean, look, if you need to know Jesus, come up and tell us, I need to know Jesus. And we'll pray about that, right? Not some special prayer. I mean, the very act of you stepping out and saying, I need Jesus. God saw your heart right then. He knows all about that. We'll just pray and celebrate with you. But if there's anything else that you need prayer, whether it's something physical, whether it's something in your family, whatever it is, because you can't tell me that we don't have anybody that doesn't need prayer on anything today. But if a group of people going to sit here and tell me, none of us got anything. We don't have anything we need anybody to pray about. We need to pray for the spirit of lying. That's what we'll pray for that. We'll pray for that. Right? I mean, but we're going to go into just a time of prayer here for just a moment. I want to pray, and then man, if God's moving on you and you say, hey, I need some prayer, you just go ahead and start coming up and lining up. We'll Pastor Angle's going to come up here. The folks that are leading our prayer stuff on Wednesday night, Alice, Gary, they'll come up. Other folks, y'all come up, you know, but we're going to pray with you. We're going to pray with you because God wants to do something in your life today. And it's not just because we're going to pray about it. It's just your act of faith that releases God to do the things he's already wanting to do in your life. It's just what it comes down to. Bible is very clear, though. It talks about if there's any among you sick, let them call upon the elders of the church. They'll pray for you. They'll anoint you with oil. Bible says prayer of faith. It'll save you and you can be healed from whatever it is. That you need God to do something on in your life, or you need God to do something in somebody else. You want to stand in for somebody, it's okay. It's all right. Let me pray.